Hi, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
Vanya, I have something that I need to tell you, and that is I did not have a very interesting week.
Oh, that's fine. I think that's sounds like a blessing to me.
It probably is. You know,
like no flooding, no falling, no
flooding.
No highway water in your mouth.
No highway water this time.
I can't get over it.
I am working on a pretty significant crossword addiction.
Oh.
That I need to deal with, I think, at some point.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just like chasing the crossword dragon. Like I just do another one and then another one. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal, really.
I miss crosswords. I used to work at this bar in New York called Tom and Jerry's, and it was on Elizabeth and Houston. It was a great bar, but I would open on Sunday, and we opened at 11 a.m., and I always had a couple old timers who would, you know, be waiting to come in, but they would usually drink coffee. Oh, sometimes they wouldn't, but I would always get all of the papers, you know, the New York Times, the Post, all the rag mags, but everything. And this one guy was like really smart. Could do the crossword, and he would have it done by like 1 p.m. And I was like, I'm going to get into this. And then I was like, that's maybe out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that smart.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I feel like it's sort of like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where sometimes it's either you know it or you don't.
Right. Right.
And there are certain I can do a Monday. Usually every once in a while I have one or two that I just can't get the answer to. Tuesday I can kind of do. Every once in a while I can like zoom through a Wednesday, and I don't know how that's possible.
Ooh.
Anything past that is just because sometimes I look and I'm like, I don't know what a Greek sales area was, but if you know what that is, then you know what that is. It's not that you're smart or dumb, it's just
right.
So anyway, I also literally have probably had the answer be Princess Leia about 15 times.
Whoa.
And I have yet to be able to spell Leia correctly on my first go round. Like, I have no idea how to spell Princess Leia.
Wait, what is it? L-E-I-A?
L-E-I-A. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's correct.
Sorry. I think I blew out my speakers there. Pardon me. Apologize for that. I just was so excited to get something right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So Mike, I'm like, whew, taking deep breaths right before this. Before we started to record, I was sort of doing a little prep, finishing up some work, and the kids are playing downstairs, and they do this thing where they jump off the bed. Ugh, it's just so upsetting. Everything's fine. I want to preface it with that, but I just had like a traumatic experience, and my daughter is, I'm pretty sure, traumatized. My son bit his tongue, but like really, really, really bad. I mean, honestly, I was like, do we need sutures? But I looked online, as you do, and if your tongue, I mean, you guys, I'm like weak in the knees. Good thing I'm sitting down. But it bled so much. And he was like, and so I brought him to the sink and he can see himself. So he's like, like completely losing his shit. And there's so much blood. I'm telling you, like,
God.
I'm pretty sure like at least a half a cup of blood came out of his mouth.
Wah.
Or maybe not, but it felt that way. I know. I'm so sorry, everyone. We should start with a sensitive warning before this. But and then my daughter's like screaming, crying. I'm like, go get some ice. So she's getting ice, and she's running downstairs. And I'm like, get me, you know. And she's like, I can hear her when she's downstairs. She's like, and then as soon as she comes up to give us the ice or like paper towels, she's like, trying to like hold it together. And I'm like laughing, and Calvin's like, you know, he's okay, my son, but he's like the one that's in pain. But I'm like laughing at my daughter because she's just like cannot handle it. Cannot. She's like sobbing. Her face is red. Anyways, the more gross thing to me is just the blood. And I think I did a really good job as a mom, pre-mom. I was like, if you have blood, I'm like, no, thank you. Go away. I'm so sorry. We will find someone to take care of that. But no, you have to do these things. It was very upsetting. And you don't want to look scared. You know, you don't want them to see you scared, but I will say I was scared. I'm like, oh God, is his tongue gone?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, please, please, with all the blood. I was like, please be there. But it was there. It's just he really, really bit it. So he jumped off the bed and bit his tongue. So that's what just happened to me. And I'm like, can I have a drink? I honestly, you know, when you're like so, I feel like the teacher, is it Grease 2 where she's like, they're like shaking, or Grease 1 where the teacher's like trying to get the pills in his mouth. That's how I feel right now.
Oh my gosh, that's so terrible. So he just like jumped and like clamped down.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I heard the scream and I knew, I was like, oh, that's a scream. That's not a great scream. That's not a great scream. It's not a cry scream of like, I'm annoyed at my sister, or even, you know, a sad scream. That was a, I am wounded scream that makes like the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. And it makes me actually want to vomit. Like, you know, I say this all the time, but if you're on the fence of having children, don't talk to me. I'm just kidding.
Does he seem okay now?
He seems fine. He's playing downstairs with puzzles.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was holding him. That's partly why I was a little bit late to meet you, because I was like, I just sat sort of next to him. Meanwhile, I think that my daughter was the one that needed like more consoling, but he's fine. He's doing his little puzzles on the floor. And now I'm just like a little worried about like what to feed him, because it really is a big gash. But yep. Sorry about that. That's real gross.
That's crazy. Ugh. Can I tell you, I don't know the order to tell this correctly, but I'll say it's something that I've noticed about myself is that when I'm watching a scary movie, is that I'll clench my jaw really hard. Like I'll really like bite down really hard.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of like, I guess, is that just like a normal reaction? And it occurred to me the first time that I ever rode a roller coaster, I think it was in just outside of Salt Lake City. I think it was called Lagoon was the name of this amusement park. And it was like one of those old-fashioned wooden roller coasters.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess I was really scared and I started like screaming. But because it was wooden and it was like you were jostling, I kept biting my tongue over and over again.
Oh, no.
And I think that like for some reason, like all these years, if I'm afraid I'm going to scream, I'll clench my jaw because I'm so afraid that I'm going to bite my tongue. It's like a weird thing that's like hold on from when I was like 6 years old or something like that.
Wow. That is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. Weird psychology.
Yeah. But I mean, think about it. You're saving your tongue because you're like, I'm not going to have that happen again.
Right.
Well, let's hope Calvin, every time he jumps off the bed or a high point, maybe he clenches his jaw.
Clench your jaw. Try your teeth.
You know,
your
I don't
teeth
want
together.
Him to get TMJ, but like no bloody... I know. God help me, please God. I know I'm in for it with him. Like he's definitely fearless, but I don't wanna. And also, you know, during the freaking coronavirus times that we're freaking living, is I don't want to go to the freaking hospital right now. So I'm like, please don't hurt yourself.
Right.
Right now, yeah. Like it'd be great not to drag you to an ER where people might, I don't know, have it. I mean, I don't know how I do know how. I was gonna say we've spent the last year inside and haven't gotten sick, thank God. The last time we were sick, and I say we because the whole family gets it, but like last year my daughter was in kindergarten and every single weekend, she's in kindergarten, he's in daycare, one of them had a fever. So they were sick we were sick for almost a full year last year. And not being sick for almost a full year is so weird. Like the kids have allergies here and there. But like, I'm like, is this not healthy for us? Should we be getting a little sick? Is like, because they say it like builds their immune system and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we're not building any immune system. We're becoming like translucent skinned people. I'm kidding.
But they say that in general. Like they say that there is going to be, I mean, even though we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, there is going to be a certain payback to all of like sanitizing your hands so often and killing so many, because your body needs germs.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious. I mean, I don't want to like put anything negative out there, but the idea, like when we kind of go back into society, I'll be curious to see if our bodies kind of go through a phase of like, oh, germs. What's that?
I was said, if I ever stop wearing a mask in public, because now I'm like,
I thought about that today.
Did you?
You know, it was really warm out today in New York. It was like 50 something degrees,
ooh,
which felt like paradise after how cold it's been. And I will say there was a certain degree of like, I almost was like, it's not cold out. I don't need to wear a mask. And then of course I'm like, no, you wore a mask in the summer when it was hot out. Like, that's not what it is. But it was just that weird thought of like, I wonder if it will ever feel normal to not have a mask on. And of course it will.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think we've gotten so used to it now.
I feel like when I fly, I'm probably just going to wear masks from now on. Because why not? I don't know. Although they have updated all of the air systems on planes. It's supposed to, apparently Delta's supposed to be really good. So my husband works in production and they're flying people all the time. And apparently theirs is like top notch. So if you fly Delta, then feel a little bit more comfortable, I guess. Not sure about Southwest, but just kidding. Oh my God.
Hey, what's going on with the water in your yard?
Oh, it's gone. So we just turned it off and it's slowly drying. It's still not fully dry, but apparently when they were trying to sell the house, they had the sprinklers on for too long. Too much, too long. They're just trying to make it all look all rich. Welcome to the land of honey. Buy this house.
Interesting.
Look at my lush green. lawn. Yeah, so it's okay. All is well. I'm sure, you know, won't be the last of fun new homebuyer, you know, things to worry about, but I'm trying to stay positive.
Are you enjoying being in the new house?
Oh my God, yes. I really am. It's, I actually feel like I can get away from people a little bit, because before I couldn't, and I'm sure people with young children understand what it's like. They just want to always be like touching you. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it. And there's actually a real thing. It's called being touched out. And it's like, you feel like I can't have anybody touch me. So this has been kind of, I feel like I got my life back a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice. Some space. Like, there's locks on the bathroom doors. There's locks on the bedroom doors. You know, it's like, I feel like me again.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask if you've been using your lock.
I have, and it's very nice, and it makes me feel happy. Makes me feel happy inside. Sorry. Yeah, so what are... So you said you didn't have a very dramatic week this week. It was very, it was super low key or...
I didn't do a whole lot. I did have a weird thing last night where I was on my nightly walk and I was really, really far uptown. And it's like, it's New York. So like you see the occasional cat walking down the street, or, you know, like there are definitely like feral cats that like roam the streets of New York.
Oh, yeah.
But I walked by this little kitten. And it wasn't like teeny tiny, but it was like pretty small.
Uh-huh.
And it was just out like outside of, and I didn't, and I just had that moment of like, okay, so here's an actual, this is a true story also. My thing, particularly since the whole, this whole lockdown thing has happened, I watch videos of animals that are in distress and then like someone helps them and then they're happy animals. Like I watch those videos. Uh-huh. I probably watch like 10 of them a day. Like I watch them all the time.
Yeah.
And I am partial to a kitten. Like I'm partial to like a cat being found, and like this cat had never been loved and now it loves its owner. And I'm like totally obsessed with that. Yeah. And I had that thought because I couldn't, like, I don't know what I would have done if I did catch it. Like I sort of went over to it because it was looking at me and then it ran down, and then I kind of like walked down and it like ran around a corner, and I was like, well, I'm not, what am I going to do if I even like caught it? Like am I going to take it home? Like, I'm allergic to cats. I can't even have them.
I know.
I don't know. It was just a weird moment of like, what are you supposed to do in that situation? But I'm sure it's fine. I think there are lots of cats out there.
Well, at least it's been warm. I think when it starts to get cold, that's when you maybe worry.
Yeah.
Down when I lived in Greenpoint, down by the docks, they had like a whole, it looked like a little cat house, bunch of cat houses, you know, where they were like, I don't know if they were feral, but they didn't have homes. So they were all like outdoor New York cats, Brooklyn cats, you know.
Yeah, I'm a little bit obsessed.
They're so cute. They really are.
That's all. Yeah, that's literally the most exciting thing that happened to me, is that I saw a kitten on the street.
Okay, so wait, are you digging anything this week or?
I am. I mean, I will say that I am still really, really enjoying WandaVision.
Okay.
I'm caught up with that. And I don't know if it's a show that would make sense to anyone that's not pretty familiar with the Marvel Universe.
Uh-huh.
But it's definitely one of the most different TV shows I've ever seen before. Like, what they're doing is very unusual.
Cool.
I did also start, I would recommend this, so I've only watched the first part. I watched the first part of a documentary series on HBO called The Lady and the Dale.
Ooh, I don't know what this is.
So it establishes some things fairly quickly. And one is that in, I believe it was the 70s or the 80s, I think it was, in the middle of the, there was like an oil crisis, this car came along. It was a three-wheeled car that was reported to get 70 to 80 miles per gallon. And it actually was a prize on The Price is Right. And then it sort of shows behind the scenes that this car is being shepherded by this woman, which was a big deal, that it was this woman that was the head of this huge project. But then quickly you find out that this woman is actually a trans woman and had all of these prior run-ins with the FBI as a man. So it, and all this is literally all like in the first 3 minutes of the documentary. So it establishes really quickly of kind of like not knowing who this person really is. And then the first part just sort of tells the history of this woman and her experiences. Anyways, it's pretty fascinating and pretty interesting as far as like, this was definitely a trans woman years before there was any kind of like trans rights or really like trans movement. So it's very, very interesting. interesting. I'm very curious to keep watching to see where it goes. But the thing that I wanted to talk about, now that I've mentioned a bunch of things, is I did watch a really, really amazing movie called Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so it just came out. It's on HBO Max. It's also in theaters, if anyone can actually go to a theater. But I watched on HBO Max. It's Lakeith Stanfield, Daniel Kaluuya. I always say his name wrong. Kaluuya. There's two U's in a row, so I always mess that up. And it's just, it's a really interesting, it's a story of Fred Hampton, who was kind of like the leader of the Black Panthers back in the day. And once again, it set up pretty quickly that Lakeith Stanfield plays this guy, Bill O'Neill, who was a real person who got busted by the FBI and was quickly sort of turned into an informant against Fred Hampton. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of shows as they become closer, as he's spying on this guy, but also like sort of beginning to like really admire him and want to be part of this movement, that he never can be because he's working for the FBI.
Right.
And the FBI agent is played by Jesse Plemons, who was on Friday Night Lights.
Yes, Landry.
Who has had like the craziest career.
Yeah.
Which is great. He's so talented. Martin Sheen plays J. Edgar Hoover.
Interesting.
I thought it was a really fascinating look at, you know, particularly being a white kid raised in the 70s and 80s. If I ever heard anything about the Black Panthers, it wasn't going to be like the most flattering stuff. And it doesn't paint like a rosy picture of them by any means, but it definitely gives you a lot more context. And I feel especially like today, it's so good to have like context into what it was mm-hmm. that they were trying to do and why they thought this was the way to do it. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Great performances. I'm certain that Daniel will at least be nominated for an Academy Award.
He's so good. He's but everyone's so good.
Great. He's so good.
I think
Lakeith
is amazing too, though.
Yeah. Oh, did you watch it?
I watched parts of it, and I watched a bunch of interviews with them because I don't know why. I just thought,
oh, gotcha.
Because I liked spoils. I'm kidding. I just wanted to see, because I'm obsessed with that guy, Dan Kaluuya.
Yeah, for those that don't know, he was the lead in Get Out.
Yeah.
Which is probably what most people would know him from.
And Lakeith is in that too, actually.
Oh, right. I totally forgot that. I think of him, he was in a little movie called, I think, I should have written this down. I think it's called Sorry for Bothering You.
Oh.
Sorry to Bother You was the name of it. And it was a really interesting, interesting movie about a guy who is basically like a telephone salesman who has to disguise his voice in order to like, you know, relate to middle America, basically. But it was a very, very interesting movie. That was the first thing that I knew him from. But anyway.
Yeah. He seems cool. That's exciting.
How about you? Anything in particular you're digging? Anything you're enjoying right now?
Okay, I am digging. Have you heard about this? It's like, I think a phenomenon. It's like, on Netflix, you know, everyone's going crazy about Bridgerton and I don't know what else. People are like, oh, I love it. Which actually I watched it. It was fun. Totally fun. But I've been really, really digging a series, a French series called Lupin. It's L-U-P-I-N, like we want to say Lupin, but I think it's like Lupin. It's essentially a heist series slash murder mystery slash it's like action packed. It's so exciting. And I thought that I would have a hard time because at the end of the night, I am exhausted. This mama is so tired. I cannot read. So I was like, I don't want to read, you know, subtitles, but it's so good. We did try, I will say, and I have not done this before, but Netflix has it where you can go into the settings and they actually have really good dubbing.
Hmm.
People get paid to like rewrite the dub in whatever their language is. Like actually our friend Bernhard does it. He does German, but people who rewrite it or whatever in interpret it take it very seriously. And it actually was really, it was pretty good. We did it a little bit with the dubbing, English dubbing. But at some point I was like, I am obsessed with the main character. He plays Hassan Diop, and the actor is Omar Sy. He is so great. I was like, I have to hear his real voice. It's like, I don't know. I might have just a wee bit of a crush on the man. He's so dang adorable. And like his presence on screen is, it's like, I think I was listening to Smartless and they were talking about actors and any like normal people who act versus aliens, meaning like those special people who are just like so, such intense energy. I think this guy, Omar Sy, is that person, is like one of those actors. It's about a guy who's, as a child, his life is turned completely upside down when his father dies and is committed, accused of a crime. But it's like so full of like intrigue and it has a little bit of like there's a book involved where it's like an old book and it's called Lupin is the book. And it's just, it's like he's living out some of the things that this book, this guy who is, I'm so sorry, I'm not doing a good job here, but oh, it's so great. And there's a younger actor who plays the young Asan. His name is, Mamoru Hidrara. And he is amazing too. And it's his first time on screen. You have to watch this, Mike. I'm telling you, the hype is real. And I don't feel bad saying that because, and you know me, if things get really, really dark, I'm like, I can't watch it anymore. But somehow in each episode, there's always like this, I want to say like almost like this wink. So you feel like each episode at the end of it, yes, there's like, you're like, oh crap, I'm worried what's going to happen next. But you're also, I feel taken care of and like I'm kind of like on the side of the character and his plotting, but I don't know what's happening. It's just so good. So that's what I'm going to recommend.
I hadn't even heard of it before.
Oh, maybe it's not all the hype, all the rage. I don't know. I keep hearing people talk about it and I'm like, okay, I'll listen to it. I'll watch it.
All right.
It's enjoyable.
No, I'll definitely check it out.
It's well written. It's purposeful. And even though it is in a different language, and even if you're tired, trust me, you will be able to keep up, I think.
And it's a series?
Yeah. There's only 5 episodes, but apparently, I think it was just announced there will be a season 2. Coming out, I want to say, or maybe they're starting to film in July, something like that. You might fall in love with the main actor too. He's great. I just love talent. He's so talented.
Yeah. This is sort of out there and like what I would have said if we had been doing this like last, like July or August. But did you watch the miniseries Normal People?
I did not.
Okay, you...
Was it good?
I think you would love it so much.
Okay.
Sorry, one more thing to add to the list. And the lead guy is so... To say charming, I honestly was like, you are too young for me, but you are so cute. I cannot deal with it. Like, he's so, like, you will fall in love with him. Both the leads are so good, but he's just like, just his face is so dumb.
Okay.
He's very cute.
I'll do it. You don't got to tell me twice.
So check it out.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Right? Anything in particular you're not digging right now?
Yes, but it's kind of like I'm kind of cheating a little because the truth is that I'm actually digging it, but the stress around it is what I'm not digging.
Okay.
So moving into this new neighborhood, I think I may have talked about it last week, but maybe I didn't. So my daughter today, she got to go to in-person school.
Oh, right. I forgot that was, yeah.
Yeah. And she is such a social kid. And I think I honestly think all kids are. Even if you're shy, you want to be around other people. And it's important for them to be around. She's 7. She turned 7. She went 6 to 7 in this pandemic so far without being in school. And I was like overwhelmed when I found out that they had in-person school. There was only 6 kids in the class, apparently, in the beginning of the school year here. People were given the option to either go full out and do online school only or sign up and say, yes, when school comes back and it's available, we'll do it. So there weren't that many kids. So I'm like, I feel comfortable about that. I do know that people are taking it very seriously. I know my daughter and she keeps her mask on and, you know, I do trust her. I really do. She keeps her stuff together and stays away from people. But I could not sleep last night. I was just like, so I was excited, but also so nervous because then your mind goes to all the places of like, what if she does get coronavirus and then we all get it? I don't know. I'm sure we'd be okay, but what if we weren't? And then we all die. I'm kidding. But you know, and so I think the thing I'm not digging is this, like, I'm not digging COVID, okay? Because F you, COVID, because you're making my already existing anxiety just like flare the fart up. I cannot. Do you like the words I'm using instead of the F word?
I like it. You're doing a really good job.
That's worse.
You're really watching that mouth.
Thank you. I am. But yeah, so the fear around it, but I honestly, what I keep telling myself, and I said it last week, I'm choosing love over fear every time I have one of those feelings or worries, or it's not like I'm shoving it away. I'm saying, no, this is your fear talking. Just, she needs this. This is going to be so mentally good for her. She came home in like on cloud 9. She was walking on air and couldn't stop talking about her teacher. She doesn't remember any kids' names. I'm like, well, what'd you do? She's like, I don't know, go noodle, which is this weird dance thing they do. It's very funny. And then we asked her what her favorite thing was. She said math. I'm like, what? She's like, my favorite thing we did today was math. And I'm like, well, that's interesting because you normally hate math during the other online school. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great.
So there we are. That's how I'm feeling. That's my, I could do without. But the truth is I'm working through what I could do without, which is the anxiety, the crippling anxiety.
I'm glad that she liked it. I was going to ask. I'm glad that she enjoyed herself.
Oh, She's so excited. She can't wait to go back. I'm happy for her, too.
That's terrific.
But actually, LA County just announced that TK, which is transitional kindergarten, through sixth grade are allowed to go back because our numbers have lowered so far down. We're like 25 within 1,000 or something like that. So if the school districts choose to, and there's a lot of controversy with the teachers' unions and different things of like, should teachers have vaccines, all this stuff, but each district gets to deal with it in the way they're going to deal with it. And I think the district we're in is probably going to have the kids come back. So then I'm nervous. I'm like, dang it. I really like just the six kids. So, but they'll figure it out. I mean, they have to go by the guidelines.
Yeah.
What a world, Mike. What a world we're living in. How about you?
So my thing that I'm not digging is kind of different too, because it's more just that I wanted to talk about this. And it's a thing that it's silly to not dig in a way, but it's just, I am a big Christopher Plummer fan.
Oh yeah.
And to be too sad about anyone passing away at the age of 91 yeah, after having the kind of career that he had is, I know, a little bit silly. And so I'm just sort of using it as an excuse to tell a couple of stories. And just, you know, it's funny, I just literally a month ago randomly decided to rewatch The Sound of Music that I hadn't seen probably since I was like 8 years old.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's a really good movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it. He does not enjoy it. I listened to an interview recently that it's not one of his favorite movies. But first of all, he's so hot in that movie.
Yeah.
I was like, I forgot that Christopher Plummer was like,
oh yeah,
very attractive. I mean, like, he was an attractive older man too, but like, you see him at a certain age, you're like, wow. And I just, you know, he was in a movie that I love called Dolores Claiborne that I thought he was so great in. I know that that's a weird one to bring up, but it's just a movie. It's one of my go-to movies that I love. I also saw him on stage with my parents when he did the revival of Inherit the Wind in 2007.
Oh, wow.
And I remember going into it being sort of anxious about it. Like, I think he was like 77 at the time. And that's a massive role. He's one of the two leads. It was him and Brian Dennehy, who also passed away just about a year ago, I think, or a little less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And I remember like being nervous for about 2 seconds. And then Christopher Plummer was so present and so alive and like so had so much energy on that stage that I was just like, oh no, he's got this. We're fine. He's an old pro. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I got to see him on stage once. Yeah, he was amazing. He's also, you know, we always talk about the youngest to ever, the youngest to blah, the youngest to win, the youngest to be rich.
Right.
He was the oldest actor to ever win an Academy Award. And I think that that's awesome. I think that I would much rather be the oldest person to do something than the youngest person to do something.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyways, just wanted to give a shout out to Christopher Plummer. He was a terrific actor.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
Because when I was young, so my grandfather on my dad's side, I never met him because he died when my dad was 17. So he was a younger man. And I swear his pictures, to me, resembled Christopher Plummer in Sound of Music. So whenever I watch that movie, I feel like that's how I mean, it's silly, but like a kid, you know, but that's like my grandpa. That was my, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but like, and my grandpa passed, you know, let's see, probably in the 60s, something like that. But it just, I also actually kind of mourned him in a weird different way. I was like, you know how we commoners look on to some of the famous people and put whatever we want upon them. But that's what I did. And I really, it is sad that he's gone, but it is great that he got to live for 93 years. I just had to put that out there because yeah, something I always thought of.
No, that's awesome. I love it. So our topic this week is a little different because you wanted to talk about something in particular.
I did. Okay. So last Sunday was Valentine's Day and I wanted to just talk about it because I'm a bit of I've softened up a bit, but I'm a bit of like a person. I think it might have to do with, honestly, being a server, and Valentine's Day is second to Mother's Day, the worst day to work. For me, not my favorite. And Mother's Day is the worst for me.
Yes.
But so I was very bitter about it. I'm like, look at all these people sitting in here trying to pretend they're in love. Oh, is this what you got to do? Is this what you got to do to prove to yourself? Anyways, so, but like, you know, over the years, I've relaxed a little. And to me, Valentine's is like even the 13th, Galentine's, whatever. It's about family and friends, not just love and lovers. And I was thinking about when I was telling you guys my fun, embarrassing story. Hi to all my family out there listening. Sorry that I was very talkative about my sexual relations with my husband. But I was thinking about that too, and how important, you know, different things are to different people in relationships. And yes, it can be to a loved one, but also to a in a friendship. So I'm just kind of obsessed with like how we treat each other. Do we do it knowingly? You and I have been friends for so long that we don't really think about a lot, but hey, I wouldn't hurt if I knew something that was important to you and I went out of my way to do that thing that makes you happy, you know, because I love you so much. And I think of that with my husband too. But as when you're young, you're just like flying by the seat of your pants and just living your life and laughing and loving. So anyways, I got into this. I think I was listening to Oprah, one of Oprah's Super Soul Sundays. And they were talking about different love languages. And this guy wrote a book. His name is Gary Chapman. And he wrote the book, The Five Languages of Love. Obviously, guys, follow your own path. But I just thought this is kind of a fun thing because they have a quiz. So you take this quiz and I'll tell you what the five languages, love languages are. So long story short, I made Mike take the quiz and I took it too. But so the five are words of affirmation. That's one language of love, expressing verbal compliments or words of praise and appreciation. Quality time is the second. Giving someone your undivided focused attention. Hello, look at me. I'm just kidding. But I do like that. Receiving gifts. You know, some people are really into giving gifts as a symbol of their love and affection. Acts of service, completing tasks and or actions to show your love. Example, you know, taking out the garbage, cooking for some, whatever, you get that. And then the last one is physical touch, feeling affection through physical touch, holding hands, sexual relations, kissing, cuddling, whatever. So I made Mike take it. And Mike, when you got on the website, what did you notice? Because I didn't know that about... Because you're like, which quiz do I take? And I'm like, I don't know.
Because it had like the couples quiz, it had the children's quiz, it had a teen quiz, and then it had the single person's quiz. So I took the single person's quiz.
Okay.
Because that seemed the more appropriate one. But it has all the same, it's the same five
love languages. Categories. Yeah, okay.
Right.
So what did you, how'd you find it? What did you come up with?
Yeah, mine was definitely the quality time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you felt that way. Like when you're in a relationship with somebody, you need that like attention and undivided. Was there a second? Because I know mine. So I can tell you mine right now. My first one is actually acts of service. Like I'm like, do something for me.
That makes sense.
And I'm like, then I know you love me. And I think it's kind of like the way I was raised. Like my dad, I always watched my dad doing things around the house or outside. Like, and so I saw that growing up. And so I think that's, I like equate that a little bit. But yeah, so if Adam and I are in a rough spot, because that's what happens when you're with somebody for so long, it's not all great all the time. I could hopefully say to him, hey, listen, this is my love language. I need you to speak my love language and please complete a task or action to show your love to me. But underneath that for me, there's the next one was physical touch because I like, and not so much sex. I'm a physical person. Like even with my friends, I like to hug my friends, and quality time is actually right behind that. It's pretty much equal for me. And receiving gifts, I could give a shit less. Like it's 3% for me. I mean, I like to receive gifts. I'm just saying he can't buy me. He can't buy my love. Okay. Yeah. Well, so what was your second one behind that? Behind your undivided attention?
Well, okay. So it's followed pretty closely by words of affirmation and physical touch.
Yeah.
And then my acts of service is kind of low. And then, yeah, receiving gifts is literally zero.
I will still buy you gifts, Mike. I do not care.
And it's not that I don't...
I know, I'm the same way.
Same with you, though. Like, it's not that I don't like gifts. I just... It's like, I would much rather do something than get something, and I'd much rather, like...
Me too.
Just be near someone than get something. So gifts are nice, but of all the things you can do, they're kind of at the bottom of my list. All right, that was fun.
That was fun, right? And that's why I just want to go get nachos with you somewhere, like, all the time.
So badly.
Like, I don't care where. I just want to have nachos with you, sitting and laughing and talking and... I might be a little too close to you. Are you ready for my disgusting fact?
I am. Well, first of all, can I just say that doing this test did remind me that I've always wanted to do. Do you know that, like, what is it called? Like Enneagram?
Oh, Enneagram. Yeah. Yes.
Enneagram, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Note to self. I really want to take one of those at some point.
Let's do that in a couple of weeks or something. Let's figure it out.
Okay.
Because I find that so fascinating. If any of you out there listen to, she used to drink a lot of vodka. Now she likes weed.
Chelsea Handler.
Thank you. Chelsea Handler's most recent podcast, which is basically, it's mostly about her book, but she talks a lot about that, about her Enneagram number and how she has the same number as Donald Trump. It's crazy. So it was so fascinating.
Yeah.
And I'd like to do it too, because I think a lot of these things, it helps you navigate through the world. And also for me, I was never good at being like, this is what I need. So I think those kind of things are really good, because you learn about yourself and you're like, this is what I need. You can say that to another person instead of suffering bullshit, which we do a lot in our lives.
Right. I know about it from her podcast as well. And I feel like I'm going to be one number away from her.
You guys are similar.
Because I think that Chelsea, Hannah and I have a lot of personality things in common, but we're also opposites of each other. As in, like, literally her birthday is 6 months to the day away from mine. Like, we're opposite ends of the scale.
Oh.
So I think that we have, like, really similar things. And I think we have real... So I have a feeling that... Because she's at a number that is just on the edge of the number... Anyways... We should take it and we'll see if it's true.
Let's do it. We're going to do it, guys. And anybody else, you do it too. Let us know. We'll talk it out. But also get into the love languages. Try to figure some stuff about yourself. Okay. So are you ready for my disgusting random fact?
I am ready for your gross random fact.
Okay. So this is why I'm going to wear a mask all the time. This is true. 15% of the air you breathe in a metro station and especially on a packed subway is human skin. A study conducted by the University of Colorado by scientists in 2007 to 2008 revealed that in addition to dirt and other like organic matter, 50% of the material analyzed was human skin. And I'm sure it's fine to breathe that in. I'm sure it's fine. I just don't want it in my body. I don't want anyone else's skin in my body. Although, is most dust just human skin? I don't know.
So the reason why I actually knew this fact is from someone's stand-up comedy from like decades ago. And I can't even think of who it was. Maybe it was like a Rita Runner, because it feels like a maybe her kind of joke. But I don't remember exactly. But the comedian's bit was like that a certain percentage of dust is human skin.
Mm-mm.
So now not only is my apartment filthy, but I'm personally responsible for it. And like, that's the joke. Like, that's why I remember. That's why I know that to be a fact.
Oh my God.
So yeah, there you go. Yeah. So most dust is in fact human skin.
Oh yeah. Barf, 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 barf. What about you? Do you have a random fact this week?
I do. And it's funny because I meant to actually use this last week. It's actually follow up on Jerry the Donkey.
Oh, guys, remember Jerry the Donkey? Not to be confused with...
What's that?
I was just going to say, not to be confused with Tim and Todd, your animals, no. Your dogs,
not
right?
Not to be confused with Tim and Todd.
Sorry, I'm obsessed. I have to say it every time.
So Jerry the Donkey was a pet of my dad's family, and I was saying they lived on a farm, but it's funny because I reached out to my Aunt Jo, who is my dad's sister, because I wanted to make sure that I was spelling Jerry's name correctly.
Of course.
And she was like, well, can I call you real fast and just tell you a quick story about how Jerry came to be? And I was like, yes. So she called me up, and I'll really truncate the story. I'll make it really, really short. But she was saying that at the time, they were living in a house, and I actually have the address, but I won't say it. But she was like, Vanya would know where it is, sort of like in the middle of like Main Street, you know, and they had a backyard and there was a little field across. But my aunt really wanted a horse, and she got into this big debate with my grandpa, her father, about getting a horse or not. And he was like, you can't get a horse. Like, there's not enough space for a horse. A horse needs to be able to run around. And she was basically like, well, then I should be able to get like a donkey or a mule. And he said, if in the next 24 hours you can find someone who's going to sell you a donkey or a mule, you can go ahead and get it. And she took him on the challenge. She like the next day got up and like went walking around and like walked and walking as like 10 miles. I think she said she walked something like that. She went a really long ways.
What?
And finally like found this pasture, and he had donkeys. And there was this whole thing where like he worked for the city and the donkeys were actually being raised for the city. But she told her story and was like, listen, I have like 2 hours left. I only have that amount of time before my dad's going to take back this promise. And the guy was basically like, well, I don't really even believe your story. I'm probably totally making up some of this. This is like my memory of her telling me this story. This is like definite telephone, me telling you the story. Yeah. And so she went and got her dad and brought him. And he was like, yeah, we made a deal that if she found one, that we would go ahead. And so they did. They sold her the donkey and she kept it in the backyard. And they would take it across into the little fields for it to have a little more room. And they were only there for about another year before they moved into the farmhouse, where he then had lots of room to roam around.
Oh,
and I believe that she said that Jerry grew to be, I think she said, 41 years old.
No. Are you serious?
And his actual formal name was Jericho Jones.
Oh my God.
So there you go. A little more story on Jerry the donkey.
That's a beautiful thing. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I'll have to tell you the address separately so you can be like, yeah, I totally know where that is. But she was like, oh, also she's super into the idea of, because they live in the sort of like the Tacoma area.
Uh-huh.
And she was saying that when we make our pilgrimage to Bellingham, that we should let her know, because she would love to come and like show us,
oh,
like,
you know,
where
fab.
My dad grew up and like where they did things. So that'd be like a fun sort of history of the city. So
I would love that.
Looking forward to that very much.
Yep. Yeah. I would love that. Thanks, Aunt Jo.
There you go. Thanks, Aunt Jo.
That's amazing. Oh, you guys, thank you for listening. This was so fun.
So much fun.
I'm feeling much better since the beginning.
So fun to talk and always lovely.
I'm less queasy.
I have a lot of friends that are like, oh, I just started listening and now I'm listening to all the episodes. And I think people don't know right away because, you know, what is our format? And it's kind of just us talking. But
yeah.
My idea is it's something, is you're part of the conversation too, listener at home, yeah, listening to this, that we're all just having a conversation together. Yeah. So,
yep. Absolutely. And honestly, at some point, I'd like to know, you know, what people are digging and what they could do without. It might be fun to do a little fast spitfire.
We should figure that out. Either do like a group or something like that so people can kind of like respond and say, this is what.
Yeah.
I don't really get the social media stuff very well, but maybe we can figure that out better too. But anyways, yeah, always feel free to share what you're digging.
Yeah. Oh, guys, I love you so much. And Mike, I love you. Thank you for letting me do this.
I love you too. All right. We'll be back next week.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not, with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCantNot@gmail. We'll be back next week. Like, I have no idea how to spell Princess Leia.
L-E-I-A?
I think, well, now I have to look it up. I think it's maybe like L-A. Someone out there is screaming right now that they're so annoyed that we don't know how to spell Leia. Or you might have done it right. But I just can never remember how it's supposed to go. Let me look.